excuse me, our third presenter is Banky Olatosi, who in a similar manner of, in comparison to the first two presenters, is going to look at the engagement in primary HIV medical care, addressing retention issues in a southern rural state.
Good morning. First of all, I want to acknowledge the people who helped me with this study. Colin Staskov, Jan Probst, Amy Martin, and Wayne Duffers, well, members of the study. And what we're looking at was we looked at the population of people living with HIV/AIDS in South Carolina. We looked at the whole population of people living with HIV/AIDS. One of the strengths we have in South Carolina is that because of the data system that is so well developed, we could actually follow people and the utilization of care, the laboratory markers at any point in time. And so it was a boon to this research, and that's what we were looking at. I have nothing to disclose, neither does any of my co-authors. The outline we're going to be following for this presentation, we're looking at the background, objectives, and the framework, the methods, results, and the conclusions. Now let's talk a bit about the background. Access to care, one of the things that literature establishes that everybody does not have equal access to care. Now with HIV, we know that Ryan White tries to make access available to everybody as much as possible, but yet we still have factors that limit people's access to care. What we have reported by Kaiser is that at any point in time, sometimes we have between 42 and 59% of people living with HIV not in primary HIV care. Now, why do we care about this? Well, we know the impact that delayed access has on health outcomes for those people. If you do not, if you are living with HIV and you do not have access to care at the right time, then your outcomes are probably going to be worse than somebody who gets into care at an earlier time. So retention is a problem. We go a little bit further than just talking about getting everybody tested, but how do we keep people in care? That's a very important issue. So our objectives were to determine what proportion of HIV-infected South Carolina patients were in primary HIV care, and we're going to define that later, or not in HIV care. We also wanted to look at what factors were associated with failure of them not remaining in HIV care, and characterize the individuals, especially for providers and other policymakers, who these people are, what are the factors or characteristics that you could use to identify them at any point in time. And this is the model we use, is the Anderson-Bivarol Health Model, but was modified for vulnerable populations, and the only change you have to this wonderful model is that you have the vulnerable domain added so you can capture those characteristics of a subgroup. These were the variables that we had available during the study. We don't have everything in the model, but we have enough for us to do the analysis. Our methods, our data source, the South Carolina Department of Health and Environmental. We got the HIV/AIDS Reporting Surveillance System, which is the HARS, and you get all HIV test results reported for every individual in the state. Now, the good thing we have in South Carolina was that since January 1st, 2004, by law, it became mandatory for you to report all CD4 and viral loads to the state, so we actually got the access to that data set. All those values are stored, and we got access to it, confidential access. The inclusion criteria we had, they had to be living residents of South Carolina, and they were all individuals diagnosed with HIV through December 31st of 2003. We were looking at the study from 2004 to 2006. That's January 1st, 2004 to 2006. So we actually did not have any loss to follow up. We did not have any loss to anybody. We just followed this population for those 3 years. We defined them as people. We were age older than 18 at diagnosis, and there are different reasons for this. Exclusion. We excluded people who, during the 3 years we looked at the data set, got any record of a pregnancy. So if we found your ICD-9 code and we found that you had a pregnancy, we dropped you out because we looked at you as an obstetric confounder. We expect that if you get pregnant and you go to the hospital, you should get into care, especially because of the baby, even if you don't tell them that you're HIV infected. We dropped out adolescents and pediatrics, and those are part that were excluded from our study. Now, this is important. We define HIV care based on the HRSA definition, minimum definition of care. And that was that's defined as a viral load test, a CD4 count, or the receipt of heart therapy in the 12-month period. Now, in the study data set that we had, we didn't have access to the antiretroviral data set, the ADAP data set. So we had to use a proxy of having a viral load or CD4 count to act as a proxy for heart. And the reason we did this was that we expect that any physician providing antiretroviral therapy to people living with HIV would have to do a CD4 count or viral load test. Again, just to talk about this is the minimum requirements. It could, if you actually wanted the best requirements, we would expect that you have this each quarter. But this is the minimum requirements. So let's define our three levels of HIV care. Again, we're talking about primary care. So we define the first group as those who are always in HIV care. You had to have a CD4 viral load reported at least once during the year. You were never not in care, which is the NIC. The first one is the ick. You had no CD4 viral load reported at any point in the 3 years. And the transitional care, you had a CD4 viral load reported in at least one of the 3 years. So you could have some people with one, you could have some people with two, but then none could be three. Again, this was based on the HRSA definition. For statistical analysis, it was a longitudinal study, retrospective. We were looking at 3 years. We used the generalized estimating equations, multinomial logistic regression, because we're having repeated measures on this individual. So in 2004, we checked if they have a CD4 viral load, 2005 and 2006. What this model does is it controls for the correlation that you expect within such repeated measures. We use SAS 9.1 for all analysis and the results. Sample size, we had a total sample size of 15,000. After we applied all our exclusion criteria with 13,042, by characteristics, the population was mostly black, almost 72%, mostly male, 70.3%. Their age distribution was mostly distributed between the ages of 25 to 54 years of age. Most of them lived in, they were urban residents. And by mode of transmission, we had most were MSM and bisexual male, heterosexual, or those with no identified risk reported. Now, this characteristic, again, going back to the Anderson model we're talking about, captures the vulnerable predisposing domain. For annual patterns of care, we found that for each year, you had averagely 56% in 2004 not in care, 50.1% in 2005 not in care, 49.9%. In 2006, not in care. Now, you've got to be careful because this is for each year. So you think we're doing really good. Well, when we aggregate it and look at the cumulative patterns of care, this is what we get. We only actually find that we have 35% consistently. Remember the group I talked about, the always in care? We had 25% transitioning in and out of care, and we had 40% not in care. So we're actually having more numbers not in care, transitioning in and out of care, than those who are in care. One of the things we wanted to look at, we looked at whether the impact of HIV infection and AIDS status has any impact on this, and we just looked at that with the transition. So we have AIDS diagnosed greater than 1 year, we have those who are diagnosed in less than 1 year, and we have those who are living with HIV infection only. You see that for those who are in care, you have those who are diagnosed with AIDS, which is what we would expect. Those who are never not in, or not in care are those who are living with HIV infection alone. For the other group transitioning, for some reason, we have more of those who are living with AIDS for greater than 1 year, and we have some reasons we could provide for that. Again, going back to the cumulative patterns that we were talking about by race, we actually have more white not in care than blacks, and the order is the largest group. But keep that in mind because we're going to be talking about that sometime. All right. This is the results of the generalized estimating equations that we did. And we found that, and by reference, I have to explain this to you. So we have two reference categories here. One is constant, and those were in care. And then we have a sub-reference group for each factor that we're looking at. So for this, we're looking at all whites that are in care as the reference group. We find that blacks are less likely to not be in care compared to whites. That goes against everything we know. But this is what we found. By gender, we found males were more likely to transition in and out of care than females, and that they were also more likely not to be in care than females. When we looked at it by age, as you would expect, we found those who were younger were more likely to transition in and out of care than those who were 15, 55 or older, and particularly the 25 to 34-year-olds were more likely to never be in care than those who were aged 55 or older. Now, by looking at that vulnerable domain that we're looking at based on the Anderson model, we found that those who use intravenous drug were more likely to never be in care. We understand that by literature, so it's supported. But we found this group that most people do not focus on a lot of times, and those were the no-identified risk group. And they were likely to transition in and out of care and more likely not to be in care than those that were reporting heterosexual. In conclusions, a study found predisposing characteristics were powerful predictors. The things we've talked about race, we've also talked about vulnerable domain, we've talked about transmission reported. So if you get a transmission reported and somebody's not telling you the transmission, that could serve as a red flag. That person is more likely not to be in care or to transition in and out of care. When mutually exclusive, we found only a little more than a third were consistently in care. And this is a problem because sometimes when we look at the cross-sectional study, we only see what's happening at that time. But that's not telling you the true picture, because when you have it longitudinally, you can find out if the same person actually remains in care. Sometimes you get the 51%, and it's actually not 51% over 3 years, like we found. Inconsistent with other studies, and controversially, was the finding that whites were more likely not to be in care than blacks in South Carolina. And we have some reasons for that. Transmission risk, like I talked about, is going to be a very important factor, and there are big implications for linkage and quality of life. One, if we do not know who we're supposed to be targeting, we won't get them into care. And retention and care will be a big problem. That affects quality if they don't get into care, even though they know they're living with HIV. So the whole push has been to test. So after you test and you think you've got all the access set up, if they don't utilize the care, what's the benefit of all the things you've done? More importantly, you have the no-identified risk group transitioning in and out of care, not being in care. Because we look at the data set and we say, well, they didn't report what their status is. They don't make any sense. We can't provide interventions to them. Well, we have to, because this is a group that transitioned and it's more likely to be not in care. It also has implications for prevention of positives. If we have people who are positive, not been in care, then they can't receive the messages they're supposed to receive to prevent transmission to other people. And as bad as this may sound, it will actually be better if we have someone who is consistently not in care than someone who transitions in and out of care. And the reason for this has to do with drug resistance. So if you have a person come in and get antiretrovirals and drop out, it develops drug resistance. If he infects the next person, is infecting the next person with a drug-resistant strain. And that has cost implications, and it's a transient problem. Again, our assumption that once testing is completed, engagement is assured may be invalid. So as much as we should do all the tests that we want to do, and as much as we know all the services are there, if we cannot get these people into care, we haven't done 100% of what we should do. We need to target the programs for populations most likely to not be in care or be in care in South Carolina. And that's it. I'll take questions later.